Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mar with 5280 Esports. We have a special guest today and a friend of mine. His name is Joe with Zalos Gaming. Thanks for joining us, Joe. Taking the time out of your day to talk to us. First off, I guess we would say is tell us a little bit about yourself, like who you are, kind of how you got into the esports industry here in Colorado.
Okay, well, I started by playing competitive Rocket League. I don't know if I'd be considered a professional or not. Mm-hmm. I traveled throughout North America competing in DreamHack Montreal, DreamHack Dallas, playing against the likes of like Cloud9 and G2. And that's kind of where I got my base in esports. But I eventually, through those tournaments, being able to see like the backstage of everything and seeing these organizations, I figured out that my passion wasn't necessarily playing anymore. It was more so like helping other people play. And I wanted to start an organization myself because I saw a lot of the ways that these organizations were running. And I wanted to kind of have my own take on it. I think they were doing a good enough job, but not enough passion. So that's what I wanted to bring to the industry.
Very cool. Yeah. And I actually got connected with you through Metro MSU Denver, which is one of the bigger campuses here in Colorado in the heart of Denver. And I actually connected to you from one of my other classmates that was part of the esports club there. This was what, years ago?
Yeah.
Long time ago. And so I connected, I reached out to you, and I actually did try to, at that time, didn't know what I was really doing. I was kind of just starting out. I didn't really know how to get into esports. And so I was working a little bit with you. We got to know each other. And then I had my first kid, and then I kind of just took a break from everything. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how we knew each other, is from college, I feel like.
Yeah, and so I started the esports program at MSU Denver. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I got my organizational taste. Like, I was able to balance their budget and kind of deal with all the back-end stuff rather than the front-end. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got started on all that. And then I eventually decided to start Zalos.
So at Metro, you were head of their esports club, right? Mm-hmm. And did you have to be like nominated to get that, or how did you end up getting that position?
Yeah, well, I founded the club and then we hosted an election, and that's where I eventually got elected as the president.
And so when was this? How many years ago was that? How many years ago was that when you started?
I think it was 2019, right before COVID. Oh.
So you became head, and was there an already kind of any established esports like community there at all, or did you have to start from scratch?
I started from scratch. I kind of schemazed the entire program for MSU. So I decided to, like, when I was first applying there, I was transferring schools from Colorado State, and I told them that I wanted to focus on esports because I was going into their sports management program, and I told them that I wasn't going to attend their college if I couldn't focus on that. I wasn't just going to join their sports management program and write essays on the Chicago Bulls like every other sports management student was doing, or whatever team. I told them my assignments were going to be the exact same, but I'm going to focus on esports. I'm going to meet all the criteria, but it's not going to be the exact same route that everyone else is taking. And I'm grateful for MSU because Dave Lamont, he is, I think I think assistant director of campus recreation, and he helped push esports a lot and really brought it to the board at the university.
Wow. So you started from scratch and you told them that you wanted to like form that club there. Is that basically what it was?
Yeah.
And so then what did you start doing? Did you start like reaching out, and how'd you grow the community there?
Yeah, we were reaching out. We at MSU, they had like a bunch of tables everywhere every couple of weeks where people could, where all the clubs would meet and stuff like that. And so we had clubs there at those tables. We hosted events, and it kind of just spread naturally and organically because a lot of people were actually interested in esports.
And so did you guys like do any sort of events or anything with MSU? Did you host any like community events or tournaments?
Yep. We hosted community events in like the main student center. We went on to into the, I don't remember if it's an auditorium or what, but we hosted like a Smash Bros tournament and a Rocket League tournament. I think we had a couple hundred like attendees that showed up for the tournament, whether they played or watched. And that was, we kind of combined it with a movie night at the university so we can raise some awareness.
So that was your first kind of taste of like starting an esports org then? Like that was kind of the start of it?
Yep.
And then, so you built that. How long did you do that for?
I did that for about a year up until COVID started. And then I started taking classes through the business program at MSU, where I was able to create like a business plan and stuff. And that's where I started Zalos and really started pushing for it. So they allowed me to start like, in order to graduate from there, you had to have an internship, and they allowed me to do my own internship under my own company. It doesn't really make sense, but they were like, okay, I'll, we trust you because I'd shown how much passion I had going into it. And so they took a chance on me, and I really appreciate that from them.
So at the same time you were running MSU's esports club, you were creating Zalos, and you were, if I remember correctly, you were almost funneling people from MSU to Zalos.
Yep.
Or not, but like kind of referring them, moving them over, getting them.
Yeah, it was kind of organization. A pipeline. And that's where I got my start in Denver, by meeting all the people locally outside of Rocket League, because I knew a lot of the Rocket League players locally, but nothing from any other esports.
So you become so you create Zalos. And I remember that was one of your school projects kind of started right for your business class.
Yep.
You started that and you had like a business plan. You had everything built out for that, right?
Yep.
And so I guess what I would say is, what was the ultimate end goal? What do you want Zalos to come out to, or end up being?
So in my opinion, esports still has a long way to go in terms of following the traditional sports model, but eventually I think it'll be like geolocated and franchised, similar to like what you see in Overwatch and Call of Duty, where these teams are tied to a city and they own a regional market. And when those esports leagues eventually expand into secondary markets, whether it's Denver, Cincinnati, whatever the secondary market you choose, I want to at least have my name in the hat for when esports comes here. And God willing, I will have I'll be the no-brainer for who they come to whenever they eventually arrive in Denver.
Yeah, that's a great position to put yourself in. So then that would lead me into, I don't know if there's too many organizations in Colorado, or at least any of them that have maybe gotten any sort of prestige to it. But I guess if there were any other esports organizations, what sets yours apart from the others?
I think it's the community that we have. We already have our roots deep down in SSE, which is South Suburban Esports and Localhost. I know all the people there. I competed in these esports programs in like RLCS and DreamHack. So I know a lot of the tournament organizers, other esports organization owners, professional players, and I think that's going to help our content start out at the very least. I know a bunch of professional players within Rocket League that are willing to help me get that content started and at least share audiences.
So do you like... So if somebody wants to, well, obviously everyone can reach out and contact Zalos through, what is your social handles?
Zalos Compete.
Okay. So they can reach out, Zalos Compete. And do they, if somebody wanted to join the community, are there like, I guess like sponsorships, or do they play under the team, or do they keep their own identity? If somebody wanted to join, kind of get an idea of what they can expect.
Yeah. So they'd have to reach out to either myself, or we have a bunch of admins in the Discord that help me run it. And it kind of depends on the team. We host tryouts normally when it comes to the teams. And then each esport kind of has their own head. So we have someone in Valorant, someone in Rocket League, someone in Rainbow Six Siege, and they kind of take control of the rosters and host those tryouts, pick those players, and then we end up competing in the local LANs.
And so, like, do you do any sort of, so you're mainly an esports org that competes, right?
Yep.
That's kind of like what your main focus is.
Yeah. Competing and doing content. And then we also have our apparel. We're kind of taking a three-pronged approach.
Mm-hmm. So have you guys been to any event? I know you guys have actually come to our events down at Localhost, but do you guys go to any other events or compete in anything else that listeners can
locally
hear about?
Or regionally?
Any of them.
Okay. Well, yeah, we compete a lot locally. Mm-hmm. We compete in pretty much every Rocket League tournament. And then we've started ramping up Rainbow Six Siege again.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of like regionally, we compete in a few different leagues. They're kind of like tier three, tier two leagues for Rainbow Six Siege and Valorant. But mm-hmm. we're pretty much always at like Worlds for Rocket League, except for this time, obviously, because it's in Germany. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily competing, but we have a lot of friends that we go there to support and maintain our contacts. And then, yeah, I guess our main focus is locally. I don't want to scale too fast because I see a lot of esports organizations mm-hmm. right now struggling to pay their players and coaches. Mm-hmm. At least that's what my contacts are telling me. And so I don't want to be similar to that. I want to make sure I'm doing it right and have the foundation done first locally. Mm-hmm. That way I have enough to support whenever we expand to global and yeah. regional.
Because we're not, you know, 5280, we're not like an esports org, but I do hear about how tough the financial landscape is in the esports industry. Like, it, you know, trying to get the revenue to pay everyone or to get budgeting is extremely difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough because what you see a lot of these esports organizations doing is they try to scale so fast and... Mm-hmm. go global as fast as they can, and they get like massive sponsorship deals, whether it's hundreds of thousands or even millions, and then mm-hmm. whenever those sponsorships dry up, they don't have enough to pay their players.
Yeah, they spread themselves too thin, and then it just collapses on itself.
Yeah, exactly. And so I want to make sure I have all the ground stuff done first locally. I'm not too worried about missing my shot.
Because how old is Zalos now? Only a few years, right? Since 19?
I started it in 2018, actually, but I didn't end up taking it serious until 2020. That's mm-hmm. when I was able to really put my head down and start grinding it out.
So do you have any other like day jobs, or is it strictly Zalos?
Zalos, and I'm getting my MBA right now.
Oh, nice. Are you going back to Metro, or where are you going?
I'm at CU Denver, so the same campus.
Same campus.
Yep, but cool. I'm really focused on getting my MBA because mm-hmm. it's really helping me like handle the business side and make sure that I provide a sustainable business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that can take us into what your opinion is. Like, how has the esports landscape in Colorado evolved over the years? And I guess what opportunities and challenges does it present for your organization?
You want to go all the way back? Because I can tell you about when esports were like, started. Yeah. I remember.
I mean, I don't know how old you are. I would take a stab that I'm older than you, but you can go back as far as you want, because I
okay. Well, I remember when esports was just now getting their roots here, and we were mm-hmm. playing on Xboxes in a Pizza Hut or a GameStop
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Back when, if I were to relate it back when Call of Duty was relevant, because that's what I was playing, it would have been like Black Ops 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a long time ago. But over the years, it's expanded massively. I remember whenever Localhost came in, I went there and I had a few contacts there with their ownership group, Nerd Street. Mm-hmm. And I kind of helped them map out like where to put computers and stuff like that and help build those computers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just trying to get my hands in anywhere I could and grow with the scene as much as possible. And I don't remember the second part of your question. I'm sorry. What did you say?
So with the esports industry evolving in Colorado, has that, obviously it's created opportunities and challenges, but how has your organization been able to capitalize on those?
Yeah,
or face those challenges, really?
I mean, just growing with the scene is, both created challenges and presented opportunities. It allowed us to find talent that otherwise we would have never known about. We know people that compete in RLCS or compete in tier one leagues across these different esports. And I don't think we would have even seen those players if the scene didn't grow, but it also presented challenges because there's some competition within Colorado. I remember when 303 esports was around, they got a really big boost on us because they had the name. Obviously, ours is Zalos, and people don't necessarily associate that with Colorado yet. That's eventually where I'd like to go, but whenever they were looking for esports in Colorado, 303 esports popped up right away, and that was a major benefit for them.
Which is actually the strategy I took, because I started out as Fatboy Gaming, and then I was like, you know, we need to focus a little bit more on Colorado and be a little bit more of a professional brand that is more recognizable. And so that's kind of why we did the brand change to 5280.
I think that's genius, because like people really resonate with that. It's really like, I don't know whether you decide to pick up teams or whatever you decide to do, but when people see 5280 esports, they'll associate that with Colorado. And whenever they leave, like if they live in Colorado, they'll be like, oh, I see that they might be local. I'm going to go look them up. Same thing that Kansas City Pioneers did. They're just Pioneers now, but they were able to like group up with the Chiefs, like partner with the Chiefs because they were local, and everything was just so seamless because people knew that they were from Kansas City.
Well, and that was my philosophy of like, you know, with esports, a lot of it is going to be grassroots in your local communities. And so I figured, you know, the name itself has to be recognizable with where you're going to start. Otherwise, you're just another, you know, Twitch streamer that's everywhere, right? And at least for me, you had a good idea because you started with a different foundation. But for mine, I had to figure out a way to connect with the locals and start there, you know?
I wanted to build like a brand that meant something to me. And I was sitting there literally in the MSU parking lot right on Fifth Street, like trying to come up with a name. And I eventually thought of Zalos, which is the Greek god of competition. And our tagline is make your idols your rivals. And I still idolize like Nadeshot and Hex. I was like, I don't want to just sit here and be like, I wish I could be in their position. I want to rival their position and make something of my own. And so that's where I eventually came up with the name and the tagline. I didn't want them to just be my idols. I wanted them to eventually be my rivals.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to ask you how you came up with the name. So that's really cool. Cause for me, it was funny. I didn't want to at first people I talked to, because I always had that looming thought of like, man, I want to change the name so I'm more professional, but I don't want to be cliche and do Mile High or 303 or something that's like living in Colorado or living in any state, they always have that tagline or that name that everybody uses, right? Everything is Mile High here or 5280 or 303. And I was like, you know what? I just have to, even though it's not it just wasn't perfect for me. It fit best.
Yeah. I mean, I know what, like it's cliche because it works. Things are cliche because they work. And so that makes sense. I mean, the only reason I didn't do all that is because I knew I was starting really early and I figured that I could really attach myself to Colorado by doing grassroots work. It'd be harder, but I can have a brand that I really resonate with. And I found it very easy to like create a whole story behind my brand. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, that name and taglines, awesome. It's got a great story behind it.
Thank you.
And I love the logo and then like everything. I think you've done a great job branding on it so far.
Thanks. It ties into all of our apparel and everything. So like all of our apparel's related to different gods from different like mythologies. And so I'm eventually going to take that route whenever I expand the merchandise.
Definitely. What initiatives has your organization taken to help promote and support local gaming and esports in Colorado? I mean, I know you've had events and stuff, but like, you know, what else do you guys kind of help with?
We try to do as much as we can, whether it's connecting people with people that might be able to expand their network. So we do a lot of networking through the university. We group up with local, whether it's students in high school or collegiate, or even outside of that are looking for a team to compete with. And we try to just hook them up with other people that are in the same position looking for a team. And then we kind of like point them in the right direction. Like, hey, there's different leagues in localhost or different. These are the leagues that have treated us correctly regionally. And we would recommend like trying for these ones. But we just kind of try to help provide them a little bit of knowledge that we've gained in the industry. Yeah.
Give them like a platform, because I feel like in Colorado, in my opinion, you know, we're not a coastal state. I've said this before. We're not a California, New York, Texas, Florida. We don't have a very big, I guess, esports vibe or community, you know? So
yeah,
for us, it's up to us little small startups to kind of create that. And it's a grind. It's tough, but, you know, we're doing what we can for the community.
Yep. I mean, I think it's really important to get it like all under one umbrella. I want everybody within Colorado that's interested in esports to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my plan for Zalos, is to unite them under one umbrella brand eventually. But for now, I really find myself connecting with the people locally, because it's all passion driven. Like you said, we're not a coastal state. There's not a lot of money here right now, but since it's all passion driven, I just see how much it means to everybody. And that's why I want to take part in it.
Yeah. Exactly. Sharing the same passion is one of the coolest things to grow with people, especially meeting new people. But you also did start the MSU club. So that right there is right. You started that. MSU didn't have an esports club, right?
Yeah, I started that.
So it's almost like a legacy thing for you there, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. And I don't know if any other campuses have that. Does CU Denver or CU Boulder Denver have that? Or sorry, CC, what is it? Colorado Community?
Are you talking on the same campus?
Yeah. Do their schools have a club?
I know that CU Denver has one, but it's not necessarily the same route as ours. It's not so much focused on competing. It's more just like get together and casually game, where I think MSU wanted to compete in like CRL, which is Collegiate Rocket League and stuff like that, and really take it serious.
Yeah. Well, since you're the head of Zalos, I'm sure you run into a lot of challenges. What are, before we get into the challenges, what would you consider the most significant achievements or milestones for your organization?
I don't really know if this is like, I know in terms of like organization as a whole, whenever we won, whether it's local lands for Rocket League or we've actually won a few regionals for tier two leagues in Valorant and Rainbow Six Siege, in terms of competing, those are our biggest achievements. But in terms of like personal growth tied in with the brand, it's the connections I've made, like becoming friends with people that I used to idolize, like Rizzo and Rocket League, Jake Lucky. He's just kind of like a news reporter within esports. These people I used to reach out on Twitter. And if you told me 3 years ago that I would eventually know these people, I would have told you no way.
Yeah.
But just by building out a brand that they respect and gaining all that, their attention, that's been a blessing and a curse, because I'm trying to figure out how I can tie it all together. Right now, I'm kind of doing it backwards with Zalos. Normally, whenever you're an esports organization, you start ground level and work your way up and eventually meet contacts at the top. But for Zalos, I've started kind of at the top with all those connections from competing, and I need to connect with people that could eventually be fans and a larger market, if that makes sense.
That's true. Like networking wise, I feel like I've networked with tons of people, even locally in Colorado. But it's like you have the network and now you got to figure out a way to do something with that network, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you meet these people and you know, they have that, you have that connection, and now you're trying to fit them in and how they can help grow the communities.
Yep.
I guess, so then what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced?
Biggest challenges? Well, obviously, like we're doing okay right now, but esports is coming out of a recession and it was pretty tough for like all esports organizations. I mean, the money was drying up pretty quick. I think whenever those esports organizations were expanding and going crazy with sponsorships, the bubble eventually had to pop. And I think that's kind of what just happened. And so salaries for players were insane. Like, I'm all for paying players, but it was impossible for like smaller organizations like myself to like even join tier one esports, because the salaries were just crazy. It was impossible to even I mean, yeah, you can have all the connections in the world, but there's not enough money for all those players right now.
Yeah, it was like the bubble burst. Like it was just, it got so inflated. And I felt the same way, where you had these exorbitant amount of not only prize pools, right? They had millions of dollar prize pools. They were playing or paying their players ridiculous amounts. And they had those, I'm pretty sure they're still popular, but remember those like training houses? You'd have like a content house or a training house, and they would like fly them out there, pay for everything. And it was just, it was a lifestyle that I don't think would have, could keep up.
Yeah. I don't know if that was sustainable. And I think it's especially hard because since esports is relatively new and we're kind of following the traditional sports model with leagues, we kind of got to figure out like how these esports organizations are going to be able to make money, whether it's through revenue sharing through the league or shared advertising space. Because right now, the only way that esports teams are making money is through their merchandise that they're selling, through content, and then advertising space. But if you were to watch like a Valorant stream or anything like that, or Rocket League, the only advertisement space that the organization that themselves have is the logos on their jersey. They don't get any of the like advertising space on the stream, like any shouting out of the sponsors. There's no like advertising segment for them. It's all on themselves and all just what the camera can pick up when they're looking at the players with their jerseys on. So they kind of got to figure out how to monetize it better for organizations, because the leagues almost have a monopoly on it.
That's true, because right now it's such a wild west. There's no, I feel like, I don't know, in my opinion, there's no like NBA or NFL or any of these other leagues that are maybe for either all of esports or specific games. I know there's the Rocket League and there's Call of Duty, but you're right there. I think they need to almost look at the modern day sports and try to model a little bit closer to that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you almost need revenue sharing to make sure that the organizations themselves and the brands are able to survive. Because if not, you're just going to end up following the like XFL route, where eventually there's no organizations. It's just all under one. It's all under the league, and the league owns every team. And I don't really resonate with that. I like to have a local team or a brand that I support. And that's really what drives my passion. It's not necessarily, I don't necessarily care for the league itself.
Yeah. So then how do you see esports in the, like, continuing to grow here in Colorado? You know, what is your take on it? Like, obviously it's growing, but how do you feel like being on the ground level, how it's looking?
I actually think it's looking pretty optimistic right now. We have a lot of students throughout every high school, whether they're starting clubs or competing. And these high schools are being a lot more open to the idea of esports than I thought they would. They're creating these clubs for these students and allowing them to compete. And when they eventually start graduating, whether they go professional or they decide to play collegiate, whatever it may be, there's a good pipeline in Colorado right now in terms of players. And I think that's going to help it expand a lot.
Yeah, because Chasta, just recently, I don't remember how long ago it was, they made it part of their athletic curriculum, right?
Yep.
And so that's already being established. I don't think it's had full, hasn't reached its full potential yet, but there's a lot of pipeline for the current on, I think, that's going to really help boost the esports in Colorado.
Yeah, and I remember when I went to high school and stuff like that, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever, it was a lot of like, I don't really want people to know I play video games all day. I don't want to be considered the nerd. But now whenever you go up there, it's the cool thing. You see people wearing their esports jerseys proudly in high school, and it's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely changing. So we know that there's a lot of opportunity that's going to be coming up hopefully soon. What advice would you have to give any aspiring gamers, you know, esports teams, anyone new that's getting into the esports scene in Colorado? I guess what, you know, giving a career or, you know, doing any content creation, joining any orgs, any advice you would give them?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest piece of advice that I could give to them is just put your heart into it. Like, if you want to participate in esports, there's room for everybody. Like, whether you want to be a professional player or you want to be a coach, you want to work with an organization or a talent agency, whatever it may be, I would just recommend putting your head down and grinding and reaching out to as many people as you can. Like, ask all the questions you can, ask for all the help you can, because the worst people can say is no. So I would just, and it's always a no if you don't ask. That's the philosophy mm-hmm. I've lived through. Is I was at the very beginning, I was afraid to reach out to like larger content creators or even larger sponsorship companies like Red Bull, whoever it may be, because I was like, oh, there's no way that they're gonna say yes to a little guy like me. But you never know, so you might as well just ask.
Yep, definitely. I agree. I think there's lots of room to grow. I think there's plenty of opportunity here, that especially it's going to show up soon. And I just say, get connected, like just dip your feet into the scene. And there's already such a good foundation of like communities and networking here that you can start to get into it pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't really even think it necessarily matters what community you join. Mm-hmm. Just join one and that'll help you build out your network, because we're all starting to get really connected here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And that'll help you make like join the scene overall. It's all based on who you know.
Mm-hmm. So then what's your approach on as an esports organization, I guess founder or head management? How do you approach like team management, player development? So that, because you guys compete in a lot of tournaments and you compete in ours, which you won first place. I will say you guys are really good at Rocket League. You have a really strong Rocket League team. But how do you guys, you know, what's your take on team management? I guess I know you have multiple teams under you, right? How many teams does Zalos have?
Right now we only have three.
You have what? Rocket League, Rainbow.
And Valorant.
So how do you manage those teams?
The best way that I did it was delegating the work a little bit, because I figured out that I was getting too overwhelmed trying to obtain sponsors and manage players and develop the brand as a whole. And so I kind of delegated the work to people that were willing to help out, and then kind of gave them incentives, whether it's a little bit of money or pieces of apparel, whatever it may be. And a lot of them, they were passion driven and willing to help out. They wanted to create something with me. And so I eventually decided to create kind of like a head of each department almost. Mm-hmm. And so we had like the head of the Rocket League team, head of the Valorant team, head of the Rainbow team. And they were the ones in charge of scheduling practices and reaching out to me for tournaments. And they'd be like, hey, I need $100 to register for this tournament. And then that's kind of where I'd come in and help register them. But in terms of like overall team management, I don't necessarily do that anymore.
It's tough, man, because when you start, you have to do everything. Like I found myself when I started with doing events, I just doing events alone was a huge undertake. And you know, there's two sides, right? There's the physical sides to the esport, and then there's the digital side. Yeah. And so for me, both are tremendous amounts of efforts to put. It's almost too much for one person. It is.
Yeah.
And it definitely is. Yeah. And so you do have to create those layers of management style, you know, like, yeah. I'm sure we'll have listeners, but like, you know, I guess what advice do you have for them as far as if they want to create their own org or create their own community?
Yeah. So what I would start with is like creating a brand that you're really passionate about. You're not going to necessarily survive if you just like create a McDonald's org that everybody has. Mm-hmm. I think you really kind of want to start your differentiation factor there and really develop it based on who you are as a person. Like create your own style of organization, because it's not one size fits all. You're not going to obtain everybody within a community all at once, no matter how hard you try. Mm-hmm. You have to create your own organization and own community from the ground up. So just start with the few people that are willing to support you and really develop them and make sure all their needs are met and make sure that they feel at home with your organization. And then eventually they start telling people how well you've treated them. Like, it doesn't matter if you have 10 followers or 1,000. If you have 10 followers that are really committed or 1,000 followers that just follow you and don't do anything, I'd rather have the 10 followers all day. The people mm-hmm. that are there watching your team, supporting you, purchasing your merchandise, whatever it may be. Focus on the people that are really there for your organization from the beginning and then expand from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say like what we had talked about, just get involved with your local communities. Like that's that's where you make your connections, and that's where you get those stepping stones to grow and to just know what to do. Like, figure out from, you know, different collaborations what to do. I know we talked a little bit about it, you know, with Colorado adapting more of its esports into its education system. I just didn't know if you had any other thoughts on that. Like, you know, do you feel that it's going to be a big potential for the esports industry here in Colorado? With, because colleges, I don't know, what's your take on college in Colorado versus high school esports?
Yeah, so I think esports in high school, you can't really, like, you can make money and you can compete in these local leagues, but, and there might be a small prize pool, but in terms of collegiate, there's sponsorship opportunities all day long. Mm-hmm. And that really helps people, like, put people through college with their passion. And I think that's what college is all about. Yeah, you're supposed to, like, obtain knowledge, but it's really there for, like, gaining, like, connections and getting you prepared for the real world. And if it can do that within your kind of, like, passion base with esports, then I think that's a great idea. And I recently have been working with a few of the people on the board at MSU Denver, mm-hmm. and we're currently trying to create, like, esports classes within the university. And we want to, similar to sports management, we want to do, like, an esports management style of thing. And so I'm going to be down there doing, like, guest speaking and helping run those courses, because I think it's really important to develop college. And then they said their end goal is eventually to add a esports minor and eventually a major.
Oh, wow. So you're still in contact with MSU, like, still giving them what, some sort of, like, ideas and suggestions and guidance and get involved with the college still?
Yep. Because I got pretty close with the people there that put the trust in me to run my own internship. And when they saw that I took it serious and that it was my passion, they were willing to try different things. And I would literally just preach to them all day long how big esports is getting. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to get a head start before other colleges, like, struggle to find their path in esports whenever it becomes too saturated. They wanted to be one of the first to do it. I'm really grateful for them to be, like, being open to that.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, we were there for their spring fling, which I might have been the same thing you did, where you get the booths around campus that they do during the day for all the students to look at. And I mean, they're really supportive with the esports industry.
Yeah, they are.
They reached out to me, and, you know, me and local host went down there and talked to some people and got the word out. But it's a great, great college. If anyone listening, or everyone listening, that wants to maybe find a college to get some support with, in the, you know, if they're interested in esports, I think they're a great place to start in Colorado.
Yeah, I agree.
I know CU Boulder has a pretty good one too. Good organization up there.
Yeah. One of the, I used to actually compete with him, but he is now their coach of the Rocket League team, and they're expanding so fast. I love to see CU Boulder's teams. I think they have, like, close to 3,000 members or something like that. Something like that within their esports program.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, do you guys, like, do you sponsor any events, or, like, do you, you know, not host, but do you, like, do anything with, like, if anyone wanted to partner with you guys?
We don't necessarily do league management. That's actually kind of what we're starting next, is we want to help grow the scene locally and kind of help fill the void from when esports was in the recession. We saw a lot of tournaments being canceled and a lot of the leagues being canceled locally. So we kind of want to help start that up again. So coming up, we're starting to create, we're going to start with a Rocket League league, where we're going to have, like, a regular season and then a finals that's going to be played on LAN. Really just kind of to regenerate that interest within Colorado and Denver.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys, the stuff you've, that was my next question, was to be, what is Zalos working on in the future? Like, what do you got in the pipeline that's coming up? So you have a Rocket League league that you're planning to do in Colorado, where people, I'm assuming you'll create announcements and stuff for it, but if people want to get in touch, they'll just follow you on socials.
Yep. Either follow us on socials, or really you could join our Discord. Our Discord's probably, like, the best way to get in contact with myself and all of our players. It's discord.gg/Zalos. It's really easy. And you can just reach out to me through there.
So you have that going on. I mean, any other projects or anything else you guys got coming up that you're working on?
That's pretty much the main focus one. In terms of like front end. I'm always doing the back end stuff to try to solidify the business, but in terms of like actual creations that people will see for Zalos, that's kind of the main thing.
Okay. So then, you being in a position where you've been in the esports industry for a long time, do you feel like there's any misconceptions or stereotypes in gaming and esports, you know, in Colorado or nation, that you kind of wanted to give your take on?
I think it just kind of has to do with like a generational gap. That's been my biggest struggle, is explaining to older generations how esports can be sustainable and what it is even. They struggled kind of figuring out how esports could even be a thing. Like, oh, you're just playing video games, but it's not that. Like, you're to the consumer, it's the exact same thing. You're going to, like, if you were to watch Rocket League's World Championship last year, we went to an arena. We watched these players compete in like on the center stage, which could be considered the field. And we were just all in the bowl within our seats. Like, it's very similar to traditional sports. Sponsors everywhere, like different teams competing, representing different regions, very similar. And so that's how I kind of found my success explaining it to older generations. But I think it just kind of has to go with, like, as these students from in high school and college eventually start getting a little older and start making their own money, that's when we're going to really see esports expand. Because they're going to start putting their money into that stuff rather than traditional sports, football and
like
baseball, whatever.
I had Kevin on here, who was the manager at Localhost, and he was giving me tons of statistics about the modern fan of traditional sports and the esports fans. And yeah, there's definitely a huge trend for Gen Z that's going to be putting their money and resources and time into esports. And I think that is a hard sell for the older generation. You know, we're like that transition, I think, from the older mindset of video games to what it is going to become.
Yeah, because if you were to talk to like a lot of the older generation, they still think it's you just sit in your room all day and play video games. But that's not the case. Like, you just play video games, but you're being on time for practice. It's instilling discipline. You're trying to be a good teammate, which is one of the core values of traditional sports. Like,
it's the same aspects of a traditional team game, you know, whether you're basketball, football, soccer, you still have those same core values and traits that you would have in that as you do in esports. So I think that's great. I think Gen Z is going to be taking it to the next level
for sure.
So it sounds like you're positioning yourself for that, though.
I'm trying to get ahead of the wave.
Well, I mean, that's most of the questions I had. I think that we did a pretty thorough, you know, dive into what Zalos is, what you represent, what your philosophy is, and kind of what you're doing here in Colorado, which I appreciate. I think you've done a great job here. Did you have any questions or anything like any other things you want to talk about? Let the audience know.
Not really. I mean, if you wanted to reach out to us, like I said, it's the Discord, or we have all of our socials. You could definitely reach out to us through there. But other than that, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Cool. Well, I do like to ask my guests when they come on here, because we try to do these weekly, and I like to have at least one, hopefully two per week. I just got to get everyone scheduled in. I'll be having South Suburban, I think, here pretty soon.
Okay.
So if you ever want to hop back on and do another show, I love doing them. I think it's so much fun. I had a great time with you.
Yeah, I love doing podcasts. So anytime you want to invite me, just let me know and I'll hop on.
Okay, cool. Because everyone can, I usually publish them, you know, as soon as we get off, so it'll be up soon. But what I like to ask everyone, what is your top three favorite video games
all time
that you ever played? Yeah, all time.
Oh man, there's so many. This is gonna be tough. Rocket League's number one.
Everyone wanted at least three.
Yeah, Rocket League's number one, because that's like my bread and butter. Have the most time in that one. Met all my friends through there. Allowed me to travel the world a little bit.
Got you to where you're at now.
Yeah. But in terms I'm kind of a story game nerd. I love that stuff. So maybe the Assassin's Creed franchise as a whole. Love that one. And then gotta go Skyrim.
Oh, okay. I like Skyrim.
But you made me, you, You had me leave out Call of Duty, and I really played Halo 3. See, that's a tough question.
I don't know. It's almost like you need a top 10 or 20.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows. So if they want to reach out to you, you're the head of Zalos. You're the man that created it. You're head of, you were the head and created MSU Esports Club. Thank you for being on. If there's anything else, you can always reach out to us. But yeah, thanks for taking the time out and getting on and chatting and telling us about Zalos and kind of your backstory, man.
And I wanted to really thank you. I feel like you don't get enough credit from a lot of people. You do a lot of the groundwork. This is the important stuff for really galvanizing the community and getting us together.
Yeah, I try to get involved as many communities as I can. I do see a lot of the same people, same faces at these events. And it's just great to see everyone and everyone helping each other out. Thank you though for that.
Yeah.
So everyone, thanks for listening. We appreciate you guys being here and feel free to chat with us whenever. We're always available on all social medias. For us, our show, you can find us at 5280 Esports on all of our socials too. Well, thanks to everyone. Thank you, Joe. You can stay on afterwards though.